So let's take your Bibles and we're going to start in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And, oops, I'm in the Old Testament, Proverbs. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, and says, knowing this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's like he said it, the same thing, three different ways, three times in the same verse. So, let's look in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy, it's way back there in the, oops, there we go. Bump my computer here. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 25. Actually, there's a good verse here. Verse 4. This is a good one. Doesn't have to do with my teaching, but I'll read it anyway because it's a good verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That'll come up again later. We'll talk about that. But what I want to get to here is verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So in the Old Testament, here in Deuteronomy, it was there, God had a different covenant. He had a covenant with Israel that if they did the law, that would be their righteousness. But he has a covenant with us, the New Testament, back here in Galatians chapter 2, that our righteousness is the faith of Christ. So chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So, there's a difference there. So, it's interesting. It's like, so at various times throughout the Bible, I was thinking about this, because we were watching this TV show, and this, we're watching this old show called Numbers, and this guy, this FBI agent, he realizes his life is kind of empty without God, and he starts thinking about God. So he starts going to his church and want to know more about God. And it's like, well, you know, throughout history, what is the path to God? What is the path to eternal life? What is the path? And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And another word for the way could be the path. Jesus Christ is the path to God. But in the Old Testament, it was a little bit different. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And just before Galatians, we got 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. There are some churches that will teach their history or their personal opinion over what the Word of God says. We're called to teach the Word of God what it says. Not, you know, it doesn't matter what some church's tradition is. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world... See, there's two gods. Most people don't know that. There's the one true God, and then there's the devil who runs this world. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, it's interesting. You got to pay attention to words here. They preach. What do they preach? They preach Jesus. No, it says they preach Christ Jesus the Lord. When you see Christ come first and then Jesus second, it's talking about the resurrected Christ. But then, what does it say? It says, we're servants for Jesus' sake. And when it says Jesus, it's the it's talking about the man and not the resurrected Christ. So it's our ministry has multiple aspects to it. Same thing with Jesus Christ ministry had multiple aspects to it. And verse 7, we'll skip down to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power of God may be of God and not of us. See, on our own, there's not a lot we can do. You know, sometimes we go to people, like when we get sick, sometimes we'll go to somebody and we'll get ministered to, or there's people that come to us and we'll minister to them. By our own power, we have no power to heal, none of us. But the God in Christ in us, we can do the same things Christ did and greater. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. And in like verse 8, it says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You know, we have things go wrong in our life, but we don't let it take us out. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair, because we know God's on our side. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And let's see, I want to skip a couple verses here. Let's look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. It's like, you know, who's ever president? That's temporal. You know, they get elected for 4 years. Some of them are better than others. Usually most of them are not very good, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. But that's temporal. But the power of God, God sits on the throne. That's eternal. We go before God. Let's go to Hebrews. Now this is the Hebrews chapter 11. It's that great record. Some people will say this is the Hall of Fame of believers, great believers from the Old Testament. Now remember, we saw in Galatians, it was talking about we're not saved by doing the works of the law. In the Old Testament, they were saved by doing the works of the law. But then I was looking here, it talks about in verse 4, Abel, verse 5, Enoch, verse 7, Noah, verse 8, Abraham, and then Isaac, and so on and so on. And all these guys, they were all from a time before the law was given. So how did God judge these people before the law and even during the law? Oh, you know what? I missed a verse that I was supposed to read. So hold your finger here. Let's go to the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5 through 6. And now this is talking about, verse 4, it's talking about the throne of judgment and so forth in verse 4. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is the section, I'm not going to get into this extensively. This is the section where it's talking about there's a resurrection of the just and there's a resurrection of the unjust. And that's everybody before the day of Pentecost, and which today is the day of Pentecost. But the original day of Pentecost was was available for people to be born again, and they were no longer going through the resurrection of the just or the unjust. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that is part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, and they shall be priests and so forth. So there's a resurrection. The people in the Old Testament, to be saved, they wanted to be part of the first resurrection. We're going to go back to Hebrews 11 now. And that was their hope. And really, though, I mean, how were these people saved before there was a law? Because, like I just said, like Enoch and Abel and Noah and all the Abraham, they lived and died before Moses came and gave the law. So how were they judged? Well, really, in the Old Testament, salvation was really achieved. It really had to do with Christ. Even though Christ had not yet come yet, the believers in the Old Testament were saved by looking forward to the first coming of Christ. The believers nowadays in the New Testament were saved by accepting Christ. We believe in our heart that God, we make Jesus our Lord, and we confess with our mouth he's Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we get eternal life. So let's read in that, with that in mind, let's read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the faith or believing, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that things which are not seen, which are seen, were made by things that do, which do not appear. That sounds like that verse we just read back in 2 Corinthians. You can keep your finger here. I'll just go flip back and read that again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, the word of God, God speaking the word, is what created the earth. Remember in Genesis, God said, let this happen, and God created, and God would say something, and he'd literally speak things into being. And so these people, they believe that stuff. And by faith, verse 4, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, Cain, it turns out, really was he believed the devil was God, and he didn't believe in the one true God. So God would not accept Cain's sacrifice. And Enoch, he's another guy. He was pleased. In his testimony, verse, the last part of that verse, that he pleased God. verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember in Manifestations, God said, what did God say? He desires, he just wants, he wants us to include him in our life. God doesn't need people, he doesn't need us to bow down on our face and say, oh God, please help me, you know, beg for mercy. You know, he doesn't expect us, you know, there's some religions where, let me put it this way. Christianity is a unique religion because it's the only religion where you're a son of God. The other religions, you're a servant and you're begging for God's mercy. But in Christianity, we're sons of God, and God wants us to diligently seek him. He wants us to include him in our life. You know, it isn't like it's this legal thing. Oh, I got to give up. Oh, I can't listen to my favorite band anymore because I got to be a Christian. Oh, me. I can't go to the bar and watch the football game because I got to stay at home and be holy. Oh, me. I'm just this miserable Christian. I give up all this stuff for God. Oh, wouldn't you like to go to church with me? No thanks, buddy. Nobody wants that kind of religion. Nobody wants that stuff. But what God doesn't even want that kind of stuff. But God, he didn't say that we give up all these things. He said we diligently seek him. You know, maybe if you're a bank robber, you want to give up bank robbing. That's probably a good idea. You know, that'll get you landed in jail anyway.
How do people find out that, though?
But anyway. And so verse 7, Noah, you know, he was moved with fear. Now that's actually respect. You know, God came to Noah, you know, and he says, hey, it's going to rain. No, it's going to flood. We've never seen a flood here. And got Noah to build a boat. And what, did it take years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, good grief. You know, and he's diligently, and same thing Abraham. And Abraham, you know, he sent Abraham over this one place. And at one point, Abraham was the richest man in all the world. Verse 9, he sojourned in a land of promise and in strange company, dwelling in a tabernacle, in tents. That's what they lived in, tents back then. And verse 10, for he looked, Abraham looked for a city which had the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then Sarah, his wife. What was Sarah? She was 80 or 90 or something?
90.
90, and Abraham was 99. You know, those of us that get older, we realize the logistics of trying to conceive a child in your 80s and 90s is kind of ludicrous. But God promised that it was going to happen, and they had a son. And finally, verse 13. These all died in faith, having not received the promises. They never got the promise of the Messiah. They all died. They were great believers. And they weren't justified by the works of the law, because the law hadn't even been given yet. So even in the time of the law, the only person that ever was able to walk the law and not sin was Jesus Christ. Everybody else came up short. So everybody to be judged, to be in the Old Testament, to be in the first resurrection, and in the New Testament, to be born again, you have to look to Christ. They looked to the coming of Christ. The promise had not come, it says. King James, not having received the promises, it says in King James, and that's, they didn't have it available to them to get Christ in them. But having seen them afar off, they could see, God told them, They had, back then, they had the word written in the stars. Remember, you got your 12 signs of the zodiac? Well, it has nothing to do with today's a good day to go buy a new pair of shoes. That's what my horoscope said, you know. So I'm going to go buy a new pair of shoes. No.
It is great.
What it is 12 aspects of Jesus Christ's ministry. The first sign was Virgo. He came born of a virgin. And the last sign is Leo. He comes back as a lion. King of kings, Lord of lords. He's going to kick some butt. And they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They knew this earth was the devil's world and it was corrupted. And it was originally God created it, but the devil got in and messed it up. And they know, they could see there's a day coming when there will be no devil, there will be no death. They'll be thrown in the lake of fire. You know, we read about the resurrection of the just. Well, it's interesting. There'll be a resurrection of the unjust. And everybody that's ever lived, they're going to get a second chance to accept Christ or reject him. And some of the people, even though they've been raised from the dead, they'll see Christ and they'll still reject it. And so they get the lake of fire. Now, there is no eternal torment in hell like some religions will teach. What the lake of fire is they'll be burned and they will cease to exist. And we won't remember them, like Adolf Hitler. You know, we won't remember Adolf Hitler and all these other mass murderers from the 20th century and evil people. We won't remember them. They'll be gone. They'll cease to exist. And it'll be us and God. And no more pain, no more sorrow. All that bad stuff. And so, hey, I'm actually getting done early. Usually I'm running real late with all this stuff. So that's what I wanted to share today. I was thinking about, you know, what is the path of God now and what was the path of God in the old days. And it really, that's why the whole Bible deals with who is Christ. And Christ is the Word and Christ is the path to salvation. Even before he was born, people look forward to the coming of Christ. They look forward to that. And they, God, you know, God would judge them that way. So that's what I wanted to share. I'll have a prayer. And then we get a chance for everybody else to talk a little bit. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. And I thank you for that you did send the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be born again. But I also thank you for the wonderful believers in the Old Testament who could look forward to the coming of Christ. They could look forward to that promise. They could see it far off, and they knew the day was coming. They searched the scriptures to understand things that we can plainly see in our day and time. And I thank you, Father, that there is a day coming when there will be a new heaven and new earth, and we'll have spiritual bodies, and we won't have to deal with the devil anymore. He will cease to exist, and death will cease to exist. And I thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.